The American Western film has influenced many filmmakers and entertained audiences, but these films have also helped form American culture and have often distorted our perception of the past. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. My guest today is a senior at El Paso High School with an interest in media studies. Celine Dipp has been creating an online collection of dialogues about a range of subjects related to American media and culture, and she joins me today to discuss the Western film and how it has helped shape our American experience. Good morning.
Hi, thank you so much for having me
on. Well, it's exciting. You've been after me, I know, for a month, and I'm sorry it took this long, but we're finally talking about Westerns. Before we get started, I wanted to mention that this great, ambitious project you're embarked on, you're also doing with your sister, Allie. So we should mention that. Tell me, from our back and forth by email, it seems you're wanting to go on to college and study media. Is that right?
Yeah, so I'm very interested. I mean, specifically focused in film. So I have a little bit of history doing production. And then I think in college, I'm just really interested to discuss or I guess consider other mediums as well. So music and literature, that sort of thing.
So you and your sister have been recording discussions and interviews with a number of people from a wide range of walks of life on various subjects. But for me and coming on my show, you wanted to discuss specifically Western films. What is it about the Western film that intrigues you?
Well, I think Westerns are so interesting because there's so many, I guess, film genres that you have. But what's so specific about the Western is almost the narrative that it has as a genre through film history. So it's so specific. And you don't really hear about drama dying and you don't hear about action films dying. But with Westerns, what's really unique, and especially how it's so integral to the Southwestern region, it has such a lifespan and such a history that I think really is unique to the Western.
Oh, fascinating. And being someone interested in media studies and wanting to go on and develop that as a career, I gather you're not just interested in the Western film as film, but in how it has impacted the development of our country.
Yeah, and it is so, I guess, interwoven in amongst, I guess, the cultural fabric of this country. Mm-hmm. And also considering the Western, both as to how it has been disseminated and how people have interpreted it. And it is such a self-reflexive genre. There's so many revisionist Westerns, which is really just, I guess, pertinent to what it is as a genre, just the fact that people have gone back and tried to rewrite that history and what that meant.
Interesting. So I know you've emailed me a number of subjects you wanted to discuss with. It's a long list. Where would you like to start? It's a big topic.
Yeah. I think probably just starting with a basic introduction to Western film and ideas of the frontier and also just tropes of the cowboy, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting when you think about the Western. And, you know, I was going back to the silent period and even the early silent period, I mean, the late 19th century. It seems to me that almost as soon as Thomas Edison and his company could get the cameras outside of their tiny studio in New Jersey, they began taking those on road trips. And one of those big trips in the late 19th century was actually out west, and they captured a lot of things. I actually own a little 16 millimeter print of one of those films, and it's basically at an Indian school in southern New Mexico. And it's just kids coming out a door and doing a little dance, and it's maybe 2 minutes long. But that was part of this first expedition, if you want to call it that, of the Edison Company taking those cameras and shooting imagery across America, but particularly around the Western U.S. So, you know, to me, the Western and images of the West go back almost to the inception of film. And as you've mentioned earlier, you know, it has sort of waned in popularity. We don't get as many Westerns in the last decade or two. But certainly through the silent period, it was one of the predominant popular forms of film, particularly two real Westerns. I think it was not only interesting to early audiences of cinema for its very basic stories, you know, usually good and bad, white hat, black hat, very simple, the excitement of horseback riding, the getting the cameras out. But, you know, they made hundreds, if not thousands, of short Westerns in the silent period. And of course, once the 30s and 40s and 50s came along, there were thousands more. Many of them B-movies, many of them forgettable and forgotten, part of matinee double features and Saturday matinees. But, you know, when you start Googling Westerns and look at the number of Westerns that have ever been produced, it's a mammoth amount of material, more than anybody could certainly see in their lifetime. I think when I think of Westerns, though, I often think of the A pictures, the better directors. And so now we're talking about 100 films, 200 films, 300 films that have produced a canon of work. And then, as you mentioned, that waning that happened, you know, really beginning in the 60s and 70s, I think, if we're looking at the long arc of history, as the anti-hero emerged, as the culture, you know, changed. And also, frankly, just the popular actors. You know, you think of Gary Cooper, you think of John Wayne, you think of Jimmy Stewart. All of them were aging out, too. They were getting very old by the 60s. You do have some newcomers like Clint Eastwood, but those are very different Westerns than the Westerns that people would have grown up with in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. You also have the decline and final collapse of the studio system, which produced and marketed and built the demand in a way in the public for these types of films. And you have people outside of the U.S. now, Sergio Leone in Italy, and even some of the Kurosawa films, samurai films from Japan. He was a great fan of the work of John Ford and really understood the visual use of landscape in those John Ford films. And you can see some of that influence even taken to Japan. And then, strangely enough, some of those Kurosawa films from Japan, those samurai films, are re-influencing American Westerns again in the 50s and 60s. So that's a long way about, maybe, if I don't even know that was a question, but that's sort of a brief history of the Western and its ups and downs.
Yeah, no, that was really good. And I just think, again, kind of building on what you were saying, it's so interesting, the arc that the Western has taken, just like the earlier Westerns mm-hmm. that had this very formulaic kind of B-Western style, and then it building on a genre and realizing that its characters can have that dynamicism. Super interesting. So I guess I'd be interested in hearing your take on the, you know, really problematic racial othering that permeates the Western genre.
Well, you're a senior in high school, and I'm guessing that means you're probably 18 or 17, 18, somewhere in that range. You know, you have grown up in a time with access to so much more information than any generation at any time in history. And mm-hmm. I think people your age are so much more attuned to these issues of representation than I would have been when I was a kid, you know, watching these B-Westerns on television or late at night, you know, after Johnny Carson, there was nothing but old movies to watch. So, you know, we looked at the stories and the construction of the film and the entertainment value of the film. And it's great to see in the last decade or two us getting as a society to the point where hopefully we look at some of these early films and understand them within the context of when they were made. And the people making them, even the ones that by their own time would have seemed progressive, were still regressive to where we are now. And so when you talk about the depiction of anyone other than a white man in a Western, the women are strong often, but they certainly are there to support the man and the society, baking, cooking, darning socks, you know. You know, whether it's the Native American, which was often played by non-Native American in brownface, I think that's coming up for a reckoning. You know, we cringe now when we see an old film with someone in blackface. There are some Westerns with actual Native Americans in them. If you watch some of the John Ford films, he had some respect for Native peoples, though he had many of the same prejudices of his time. You know, rarely do you see African Americans in Westerns. When you do, they're obviously in very subservient roles or very minor roles. Mexicans in Westerns also, if they weren't actual Mexicans, they were white actors or Italian actors in brownface, treated very harshly, often treated as people who needed to just be run off the land. I'm thinking of a film like The Furies by Anthony Mann from 1950. It's a great film, very Shakespearean, really, in its layout. But I think a lot of people hear Western and they think John Wayne. There's an amazing moment at the beginning of a John Wayne film in 1948 called Red River. It's a cattle drive film. But one of the very first scenes is John Wayne traveling to what would become Texas. and he's out on this huge plane, and he basically wants to create his own ranch, and up ride three Mexicans on horseback asking him who he is and why he's there, and he's trespassing, he's on their land. You know, this is before Texas, so this is Mexican territory. And he basically kills them and takes their land because he can. It's a shocking moment. I'm not sure it was all that shocking in 1948, but the director Howard Hawks does a number of interesting things with the John Wayne character in that film and most of Hawks's films, where he takes this John Wayne character that was basically branded by John Wayne himself. He has him do things that are reprehensible throughout the film that make you think, okay, this is an actor playing a role. This is not just John Wayne, the brand, walking into our film. So again, the depiction, it would have reinforced stereotypes of the time. You know, the film is a feedback loop. It is a mirror to our society. The people who make films are human beings, and they cannot completely divorce themselves from the society they grew up in. I just mentioned Howard Hawks and John Ford. You know, both of them were born at the end of the 19th century. So these are often people making these films who were born before the automobile, the airplane, the telephone. And while there was a lot of progress in their lives from a racial and cultural point of view, they would have held and been immersed in a society that was overtly racist. And so that often filters its way into the screen and into the stories. You can't escape it. 50 years from now, people will look back on the movies we're making in 2020. We think we're so woke. We think we're so, you know, enlightened. And there, I guarantee you, will be things that we look at in the films being made today that will make us cringe when we look back, that we were so insensitive about that subject or that depiction of a person. So the Western is no different. It's part of our culture. Yet, I think the premise you're getting to is that it also perpetuates certain notions in our culture. And in that regard, you know, one has to look at Westerns and frankly, any classic film and understand its context and be have their antenna up for those kinds of depictions.
And I think also speaking to the relationship between the production of films and society, I think it's also really interesting to consider kind of that anti-hero outsider notion that permeated the cowboy. You had even codes by studios that would, I guess, limit how far your hero could, I guess, be bad or be a bad guy.
I've been discussing some aspects of the American Western film and how it has shaped our culture and understanding of history with El Paso High School senior Celine Dipp. She'll be attending college next year and specializing in media studies. Dipp has been recording interviews about American culture with a number of participants, along with her sister, Allie Dipp. And you can find those at ourworkproject.org, and that's our O-U-R. And those will be available starting Labor Day. Tune in next week for the second part of this conversation about Western films. We went on quite a while, so I think we'll just continue the conversation then. For a short list of recommended Western films mentioned on today's show and for an extended version of our conversation, log on to the On Film Archive at ktep.org. On Film was engineered and recorded by Seth Van Meter. I'm Charles Horak. Stay safe, wear a mask, and thank you for listening to On Film.